Hey, this is Pearls and Swine. This is Levi. To my right is Travis Williams. And we have actually a special guest today, Gary Kruzich, the Godfather.
Himself.
The special Godfather.
Yeah. So today we're going to be walking through just a little bit of Gary's story, his story as he's played at a very high level of hockey, and what was that like? What are some of the darknesses that were there? And his story of coming to know Jesus and the light of who Jesus is. That's where we're going today on Good News You Can Use. And so, Gary, you want to introduce yourself?
Yep. Gary Kruzich from originally Chicago, Illinois. Found my way out to the UP a little over 10 years ago, working at Michigan Tech now in athletics and coming to Evangel every Sunday and just loving life.
Excellent. So, Gary, I know a little bit about your story, and we've heard a little bit about some of your hockey escapades. You grew up in, I can't remember, where'd you grow up?
It was Chicago. It was a suburb of Chicago, Illinois. I was born in Oak Lawn. And then my dad was part owner of a ice rink and a sporting goods store in Crestwood, Illinois. So I grew up around ice.
Grew up around ice and loving skating and stopping pucks because you were a goalie, right?
I was a goalie. So we started at Willow Springs Ice Chalet at 5 years old. And the first practice coach said, "Who wants to play goalie?" So I raised my hand. Had no idea what it was. Believe it or not, I was so small and short at that time that they didn't have equipment to fit me. So I have my first chest protector at home that's made out of two pieces of carpet backing, two pieces of floor tile, and then it's wrapped in leather. And it's crazy. Yeah, I bring it to the USA when I do USA talks and stuff, and I show the coaches and stuff what my first chest protector was like. They understand now what I'm all about, trying to stop pucks with the carpet backing and tile. So
you grew up playing hockey, doing that whole thing, kind of just living life and living the dream of sports and life and whatnot. And so you went through high school playing hockey, I'm assuming, or did you go to a junior league?
I played high school in Chicago, and my dad sent me to the last place team in the Catholic Hockey League. So we had three really good teams within 5 miles of my house. I had to travel 40 minutes to downtown Chicago, right across from Comiskey Park, because they didn't win a game. And he said, "If you want to go to the next level, bring this team to the States in your next 4 years, and you'll be seen." And our junior year, we finished second in the States. Funny to say that half my team was Mafia kids, because we were at Bridgeport, and it was a true story. So it was, I had the Catazones and Sirocos, and they didn't. They just played hockey to play hockey. So I grew up there and did that in high school. And then my senior year, I played with the Chicago Minor Hawks. I played with them growing up, too, throughout as a AAA team. But they had a junior team, and they had two coaches that went to Cornell, the Roach brothers, and their goal was to take Chicago kids back then and have them seen, because Chicago wasn't a big hotspot for hockey, believe it or not. So they put this team together, and we went traveling out to colleges and played their JV teams. And that was one way that we got recruited, because there was no internet, and there was, it was letters, and, you actually had to write a coach and say, "Hey, I'm Gary Kruzich, would you come see me play?" So we went out there, and one of the coaches at Bowling Green, Buddy Powers, his brother was at one of the tournaments we were playing, and called Buddy and said, "Hey, you guys looking for a goalie next year?" And Buddy said, "Yeah." And he said, "I found your guy. His name's Gary Kruzich." And they said, "Who?" Kruzich from Chicago. So I got a call from Jerry York, went down to see Bowling Green. They offered me a full ride in 4 years and paid for school and housing and food. And it was quite amazing.
That was kind of back in the day where it seems like the stereotypical goalie now is 6'5"
yes,
and big long wings,
yep,
and, are diving all over their ballerina, gymnast / hockey players, and a little bit different back in those days. You were kind of like a stand-up goalie,
right?
Yeah,
I was a stand-up goalie. I was 5'5". So if I go down, then my dad used to say, "Just go to the bench, because if you go down, the hole that's open," right? So it used to be a standing joke. But at 5'5", it totally different, because you had a 3.4 or 5 goals against average back in my day. You were doing something that was good. Now you're going to be 6'2" plus, and you got to have an under 2 goals against average for them to even look at you. But my dad always taught me one thing. He said, "It doesn't matter what your stats are. Wins is all that matters. It doesn't matter. It's the team that wins the last game is the one that's going to win it all." So he installed that in my head very, very at a young age. And it didn't matter to me. I didn't go up to get shutouts. All I did was get into the locker room before the game, and I said, listen, you got to score two to win tonight because I'm letting one in. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm letting one in. I'm not going to put the pressure of a shutout. You score four, I can let in three. You score five, I can let in four. You score two, I got to let in one. And that was my mentality. And became the winningest goalie in college history. Beat Ken Dryden's record that was 16 years old. And I held that record, I think, for 20 years. I had 88 wins in 4 years. So
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty, almost an 80%.
So you were like an All-American if you're doing that stuff.
2 years in a row, I was first-team All-American. So broke numerous amount of records, most saves, most assists.
Look at that. We're already getting calls on Burles and Swine.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I had a great career in college. I had an unbelievable career. Went in as a freshman right out of high school. I was 18, young. Doesn't happen. Everybody goes to play 2-3 years of juniors. And I came right out of high school and took over the number one spot about halfway through the season. Won the national championship as a team my freshman year in a 4-overtime game against Minnesota Duluth. Longest game to this day in history. And then was the MVP of that game. So started out right, 18. National championship, MVP. Yeah, that confidence and cocky line got real short for about a week until I got back home. My dad put me right back in the place, right? So, yeah, and then we went out. It was great. It was a great 4 years of college. So
you went 4 years of college, and then what happened after that?
So I went 4 years of college. My sophomore year started playing with the U.S. Olympic program. It was Mike Richter and myself. We went through that every summer because we were slated for the 88 Olympic team. And I got drafted by the Islanders in 87. So my career was taking off. There was a lot of things going on in life. And I graduated my senior – well, I didn't graduate until later. I left school after the last game at Bowling Green and got an agent, took some bad advice. And was nullified from the 88 Olympic team because I went and did a speech with Mike Ruzzioni and received $10,000, which turned me into a pro, which back then, yeah. And
who's Mike Ruzziano for people who don't know
Mike
that?
Mike Ruzzioni was the gold medal game-winning goal scorer for the 1980 U.S. Olympic team over the U.S. Russia Red Army
Miracle on
Ice USSR Miracle on Ice. And I tell you, I played against that team in 87. As soon as I left college, I went with the U.S. World Team for 60 days overseas, and our first stop was Russia, and we went and played that USSR Red Army team. They came out in all red with that white logo, and they were good. They were good. So we were in Moscow, Leningrad or Moscow, I can't remember. But I called my dad. I said, Dad, I got the start. We're playing the team. He said, don't go down. They won't shoot. They wait for you. Don't go down. They won't. So I didn't. And one of the guys with 2 minutes left in the game blew a shot right through my blocker, ripped my blocker in half. And we lost game 3-2. Yeah. Your fingers are attached to the blocker where you hold your stick. I went out to make the save, and it just ripped right through the thing. Yeah. So I was lucky enough to play against that team. And then so I played for a while there, came back, and went to the Islander camp. Billy Smith and Kelly Rudy were there, which are two of probably the best goalies that ever played in the NHL, just coming off of 4 Stanley Cups. So there was no way that I was making that lineup right off the bat. Billy Smith, their key goalie, kind of took me under the wing, and there were a lot of articles written that rookie or veteran takes rookie under wing, and it was a great experience. I got sent down to the minors, and 2 years into it, I blew 2 knees out. Well, about a year and a half into it, I blew 2 knees out, and that was it. My career was over as fast as it started.
So you're in this thing, and at one moment it feels like you really have the world by the tail, and yeah. Life is good, and all eyes are on you. You're kind of moving up the ladder and going hopefully to sign that big contract in the NHL, and all that's kind of taken away in that moment.
In one night, and the sad thing was I was playing with Flint, and I wasn't supposed to play in Kalamazoo. And we got off the bus in the parking lot, and Rick Dudley came to me and said, you're starting tonight. I said, Rick, I just went 4 nights. We just took a 10-hour bus. I'm not ready. He said, you're starting tonight. Vancouver's in the stands. They have a contract. My dad showed up. My agent was there. I was ready to sign a 4-year deal. They traded Steve Weeks, I think it was, and 10 minutes into the game, blew my knee out on a move that I made 100,000 times, a simple move off the post. Puck came from behind the net out front. I moved. There was a hole in the ice from a skate. My skate got caught, and I heard a big pop, and yeah, I blew my knee out. And, you know, it's crushing. I mean, you work all your life, and it's over in seconds. And it's where my life turned. It became difficult for me after that.
So, yeah, you have all of this stuff, kind of the world by its tail, and in that moment, everything changes. How did you deal with that? What did that look like for you, and what was the darkness like in that moment?
Well, the darkness was awful. So leading up to that, I was very – I thought I was a very Christian person as I could be. You know, I read the Bible. I went to church. We teamed up with a lot of the homeless shelters, and we brought – you know, I had players – going, we visited them, the Wiley's Children Home out in Detroit, and I was very, very Christian. Was I a perfect Christian? Absolutely not. But I thought I had my stuff going on, and it was a talent that God gave me, and I used it to the best of my ability because that's what we're supposed to do. And I had everything by, and then this happens, and I guess call me young and dumb and not as educated as I should have been. I got mad, but then I said, please, God, let me recover from this. I'm going to work harder than I ever have, and please bring me back. This is something you gave me, and I've worked all my life. So I went to Rick Dudley. Playoffs were not very far away. He said, you're done. We're putting you on the IR. I said, please don't. I said, I will be back in 4 weeks from this injury, and it was a 12-week, minimum 12, while I was back on the ice, stopping pucks in 4 weeks, and made – yeah. And we went to the championship series against Salt Lake, which was Calgary's minor league club. And they had Theo Fleury. They had Ranheim. They had all these names. If you just go look them up, they were studs. They had them all down in the minors. We took them to Game 7, and we lost in Game 7. And I thank God. I said, thank you, God, for at least getting me to this spot. St. Louis called. They wanted me to come to camp. I was ready to sign another contract. Woke up one day. The other knee was gone. It's totally shot. I took a puck in it, and it was shattered in 100 slivers. And I didn't feel it until I was done playing, like no ice every morning, not on it. So when season ended, you kind of take that 2 weeks off and just kind of let your body rest. It took about 3 days, and my knee was the size of a basketball. So there I went praying again. God, please let me. I don't know why this happened. Please let me get it. Please let me go to camp. So I worked as hard as I could. They went in. They had it's close to 100 slivers came off. They had to pull out and made it back. Went to St. Louis camp. Failed the physical. Mm-hmm. I said, God, you got to be kidding me. So back to the drawing board. And so I went back to Flint and I worked hard and I worked hard and I worked hard. And blew another knee out and a shoulder out. I grabbed my bag, threw it in the garbage. And that was it. And I left. And I left. Left something that I was part of for 18 years of my life. Just walked away from it. And not only did I walk away from that, I walked away from God, which is probably the worst decision I ever made in my life, you know. But I didn't know any better, you know. I blamed him for everything. And needless, you know, and I look back now where I am in my Christian walk. There were so many opportunities for me that I just went blank on that. He wanted me for bigger and better things, and I was just too blinded by it. So that's where it all started from, you know, that dark place. And that dark place stayed for about 15 years. My dad passed away. My brother passed away. It just started. I felt like Job. Mm-hmm. And if anybody heard my testimony, I'm a Job 2.0. I'm the first part of Job that I did the opposite of what Job did. And went totally against God. And now here's my Job 2.0 where every day is, I thank God just to be walking and thank God for everything I have. So, but it was 20 years, 15, 20, somewhere's in there, of darkness.
So you had these 15 years of darkness. And then what happened to bring you out of that darkness? What was the catalyst, or who were the catalysts that God put in your life to kind of to bring you to a different place?
Well, I was in a dark, dark place, almost rock bottom. And if anybody ever heard the saying, you have to hit rock bottom, you have to hit rock bottom if you're going to change your life. And I was there. I was arrested for writing a bad check. I closed the account because I was starving. I needed food. I got out of jail. I had $20. I went to a casino. I hit for $1,200 or whatever it was. I was back. Gary's back and I'm back, right? $1,200, a car in the casino. I had a girl came up and said, hey, let's go out tonight. Meet me at this hotel and we'll go. And I said, well, yeah, thank you. I'm back. Gary's back. And went to the hotel and I had a gun put to my head and car broke down and $1,200 was stolen. I was homeless. And that's where it ended. That's where my life ended. So I woke up in a ditch, homeless, walking down the street. A buddy that I haven't seen for years was driving down the street, seen me, pulled over to the side, brought me in the car. And he goes, Cruiser? And I said, yeah. And he goes, what's going on with you? And I looked at him and he just punched me right upside the head. He said, you're a better person than this. You were one of my idols growing up. And he said, so you're going to come home with me. We're going to get you back on track. We're going to get you to church. And that's what happened. Buddy saved my life. And then we got to church. I started really going to church. I got a job with the Phoenix Coyotes as a general manager of merchandise. Met my current wife. She was in a bad place. I was in a bad place. God put her in my life. For anybody that doesn't know my wife, Joni, she's got her master's in theology, so God really put one in me. I can't put anything past her, right? Yeah. The discussions at my house are deep, and I lose every time, but gain a lot of knowledge, right? So that was it. That's a short story of a lot more that happened in between those 15 years, but that's what it was. It was every time something bad happened to me, I looked up in the sky and said, is that all you have? Right. Is that so? Yeah. Okay. I lost an apartment. I lost a job. Is that all you have? Really? This is you're nothing. Cause I was mad at him. I was mad. He took what I thought. He took my career away. He took my dad away. He took my brother away. He took everything I had. Right. So I was mad at him. I shouldn't have been, but I was. And, I think he got up there and he loved me enough to where he looked at Moses and said, I got his attention. Now watch this one. And he got me. And then we ended up in Houghton or Hancock in 1999 at Finlandia. I was wanted to get into college coaching. They had a volunteer position. We moved up here. We fell in love with the area. We found, we going to churches here and there. We visited Evangel. We went to Holt. We went, a bunch of different churches. Still church hopping at that point, 4 years. And then we went on a 2-year mission trip. Job opened up at Michigan Tech. We came back to the neighborhood, found Evangel, and here we are. And,
So if you were to say to somebody, you're in that dark place, and Christ obviously wasn't preeminent in your life at that moment.
No, he was not.
What would you say now? What does Christ mean to you now?
Oh, yeah, Christ is everything to me. When I close my eyes, and I'm not a guy that gets emotional. You guys know. You know me. And the one thing that I tear up the most about now is when I talk about God. Because if anybody would treated me the way I treated him, I wouldn't open my door if you were starving. I wouldn't, because I swore at him. I urinated on church buildings. I'm sorry, I'm being honest. I hated him. I hated God for what he gave me. I did what he wanted me to do, and then he took it away. But he didn't take it away. It's just, it was part of his plan. And his plan was maybe for me to come out and talk about it. Maybe his plan was for me to be able to get to know him better. But there's so many things that have happened in my life. For us not to stay here for 4 hours and talk about it, but if somebody came to me in a dark place, I simply would look at them and say, God has unconditional love for all of us. And if he can accept me back in his life after what I did, he can accept anybody. I'm short of murder. I mean, seriously, I did not like him. And I let people know I did not like him. Now, I let people know there's nothing but him. When I took the interview at Michigan Tech and I flew back to New Mexico where we were doing our mission trip, my wife said, how did the interview go? I said, I think I blew it. And she said, why? I said, because half the time I talked about Jesus at the higher ed.
I mean,
right?
Yeah.
And she just laughed about it. But there isn't a day that I don't go by talking about what God did, what God did in my life. And your plan or my plan is never the same as what he's got, is what I found out. And I quit asking what and why. I really do. I mean, you and I talk about it, Pastor, yeah. And I always say why and what. But realistically, when it all comes down to it, I don't.
Yeah.
It's in his hands. We're just managers. We talked about that earlier. We're managers. We're managers of his money. We're managers of the talent he gives us. We're managers of everything, right? I told somebody a couple weeks ago, we were talking about heaven, and they didn't believe in heaven. And I simply looked at him and I said, what happens if you're wrong? You don't get a second chance, right? We die, or he comes, the thief of the night, and takes us. When we're there getting judged, we don't have a second chance that we can go, holy, he is real. And send me back, please, so I can. No, you're done at that point. So you have a choice now that you can have eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. And if streets are made of gold in heaven, that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. Because if he views gold as that.
I'm not sure there's casinos there, though, Gary, in heaven, chipping off the streets of gold.
There's our first business proposal right there.
Gary, when you came and talked with our college students at Lit, you talked about how you had that moment of you had life by the tail and how great that was in that time and all of the things that came with that. And then you compared that to your life now with Christ. Uncomparable, right?
It is uncomparable. So if you think about it, when I was 18 coming out of college and I went into Bowling Green and we won a national championship, I was the MVP. So I kind of took over the whole town, and I'm not bragging. This is what happened. And the president of the university, President Olskamp, came to me and said, Cruz, here's the keys to my house. Do whatever you want on the weekends. Come enjoy yourself. Get away from the dorms. Get away from whatever. Just come. This house is your house. This was the president of the university. Two things you stay away from. The portion of garage and my wife. That's a true story. So I used to throw parties at the president's house. I had the world. Compares nothing to what I have now. Compares nothing to what I have now, because that world was taken away in one move. A tenth of a second. Right? That would be like if somebody made millions of dollars with their legs, you got out of bed, you took one step, and all of a sudden both your legs fell off. Right? And something you worked for all your life is gone. God can take that away so fast, whatever he gives you. And when we die, when we have God in our life, nothing matters. Really, nothing matters. What matters now is that we go out and bring as many people to God as we can. That's all my job is. That's my job. God is going to provide for my wife and my family. He's going to provide food. He's going to provide housing. I know that. I'm not worried about that. Our job is to bring as many people. That's all he asks. Bring as many people to me as you can. That's what you're down on earth to do. That's pretty simple. Because I like to talk. You guys know that.
Yeah.
Right? I do.
Yeah.
But, and I'm not shy. You guys know that as well. I'll be the first one. Do you know Jesus? No? You should. Very simple.
Yeah.
And here's the question. How long is eternity?
Long time.
I think it's Sandlot forever.
Forever. Think about it, though. What a great – well, right, you have to do a sermon every Sunday, so you have time. Mm-hmm. Okay, I got to start Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Sunday comes, and then we start over again. Eternity. We can't fathom that. We can't fathom that. And he's given that gift to us.
Yep.
And we know what it's like because he tells us. So – and the one thing, people have tried to go against the Bible how many times? And they can't prove it wrong.
Yeah.
Right? So once you're saved and once you are in this position, nothing else matters. When I get to heaven, and I sure hope I'm there because I think I'm there this time. I really think I'm there this time. Nothing else matters. A very good friend, we know him, Charlie Kempinen. He has been in my walk now for 10 years. He was the one that, besides my wife, he was the one that really jumped on board with me and guided me to where I'm at in my walk today. I wouldn't have done it without him. I wouldn't have done it without my wife. My wife came. God put my wife in my life at exact perfect time. I'd be dead by now. I would be dead if she didn't come in my life. And then he puts Charlie in my life. Right. And then all of a sudden now he puts Evangel in my life, and we've done a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And we become good friends. Mm-hmm. We become friends, but he's put all these things in my life, and there's a reason for it. And the reason is so I can go out and talk about God, on podcasts, talk about God at Michigan Tech, talk to the coaches, I'm talking about God all the time.
You know, one of the things that I really love about your story is it has all these elements of like, you had all of this stuff. And yet then you didn't have it. And yet now you're sitting going, hey, this is the real deal. This is better than all the stuff that I had. One of the things that I love about stories is your story and anybody's story. When it's connected to God's story, it's always a great story. And this story is connected to God's story. We're really thankful for you sharing on Pearls and Swine and Good News You Can Use. Any last thoughts that you have for the listeners that are out there?
My testimony, my story is real. You can't make this stuff up. You guys have heard it more than once. I've been there. I have been to the highest of the highs. I was a professional athlete. That's a 1 in 1,000,000 chance. I'm 5'5", one of the shortest guys ever drafted after being told you'll never make it to D1, let alone pro, right? I had everything, or what I thought was everything. The one thing I was missing was God in my life at that time. And now that I have God, nothing else matters. I don't care what darkness you're going through. One last thought. This happened last week. With all the turmoil and everything that's going on in this world, I got to a bad spot in my life where I was on my phone, on Facebook and stuff, answering people and really going to town on people. And I was becoming a person I didn't want to become. So my wife took the app off because I don't know how to do that. So she took the app off and she took the news channels off. She took everything off. And I said to her, every time I go to reach for that phone to pick something up, I'm going to read a chapter starting with Genesis.
You're done with the Bible now.
It's been like 3 days. I'm already through it's amazing.
Yeah.
Now I go to the Bible. To answer your question, I go to the Bible. I don't go to prayer. I go to the Bible. And when I can't get it from the Bible, or if I can't comprehend, I go to my wife. And Pastor Levi, you know this. And then when I don't like the answer she gives me because it's the correct answer, who have I come to?
Yep. And then I tell you she's right.
And then you'll tell me, no, that I was going to quote the same verse she did.
Yeah.
So no matter how dark a place you're in, God's in your life. There's no switch to turn that light off. God will never turn that light off on you.
Yeah, he loves you. He cares about you. He sent his son for you. And you all of a sudden start to realize who God is. And he looks down on you and goes, man, Gary, I love you. I want a relationship with you. I want to forgive you. I'm in it to win it with you.
Look at the chills. Look at it's amazing. We need to be like that. And it's tough.
Yeah.
But if you want to read a good book, throw all the crap out. Read the Bible. It's got everything in it. It's got everything in it. It's pretty cool. And then to find out at the end that there's an eternity of riches and angels and heaven for us. Like, you didn't do enough giving your son up. Now you're gonna give us
full inheritance, man. It's awesome.
It's unbelievable, huh?
Well, so, thanks, brother, for sharing. This is Good News You Can Use. If you have any questions for us, if you have any comments, or you would like us a specific thing for us to talk about, you can email Travis at evangelup.org or check us out in our other podcasts at evangelup.org on our website. There is a bunch of podcasts on there and some other types of things for Pearls and Swine. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.